Because I really appreciate it, and I don't want to overstate this, but I'm really honored to be with all of you. It's been a really tough 8 months, in so many ways. And one of the big things I've been learning the last couple of years, I've made a couple of trips to California for week-long kind of sessions with some Christian psychologists and really diving into my own personal growth. And I grew up Southeast Ohio, actually in probably one of the poorest counties in Ohio. And it's where Joe Burrow's, that's where he went to high school. So that's where I grew up. And I didn't know how to express myself to other people. I was really quiet. Frankly, I didn't think my voice really mattered. So I just relied upon athletics and played baseball at Ohio University and felt like I was the last recruit. I had the shortest write-up. I was telling a little bit before, I've just felt kind of behind the eight ball most of my life. And I really had to fight a lot to get kind of what I could get. But one of my regrets is I didn't learn how to communicate with people. When I was with the New York Yankees as an outfielder in the minor leagues, I wish I would have told my coaches more about what was really going on, my athletic trainers. I wish I was just more upfront with people. But I was scared and I was angry. I was passive aggressive. And so these last couple of years, I have grown like crazy. And it's been a result of just becoming more open and vulnerable. And so one of my passions is just asking questions to try to really get to know people, like really what's going on with people. And so I'm just going to start out with a couple questions, and I would appreciate if a few of you would just jump in. You know what's going on with you, and probably what a couple of you will say. There's so much, it's just going to relate to what you're saying. And it means a lot more coming from you than it does from me. So here's the first question. What words would you use to describe how you are feeling physically slash emotionally? So what words would you use to describe how you're feeling physically slash emotionally? And again, there's no particular order, but it would be wonderful if one or two of you would just say something.
I would probably say exhausted, but excited. I think I have a lot of different things coming up in life that I'm excited about, but also exhausted just from life. So those are two weird emotions to be having at the same time, but kind of going through that at the moment.
Thanks. That's a good start. Okay, somebody else.
Yeah, I think physically, just kind of the same boat, just like tired. It's been still tasking, kind of one with normal sports, but two kind of protocols and everything. And then emotionally, just kind of, I don't know how to put it, kind of full, like a lot, like on my mind a lot. Like I'm feeling like I'm learning, kind of observing a lot recently. So kind of we're working that emotional, mental side a lot more than I feel like I usually would. So.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Great. What about how are you feeling socially? And Michael, that's not directed specifically to you because you just said that, but maybe one or two. How are you feeling socially?
I think right now it's super hard, obviously, with everything being online, to really like fill yourself with the community of others. Like I think that like socially, that's what I feel like I have been lacking is just like that feeling when you're with a group of people who you like have connections with and like everyone's laughing and talking. That doesn't really happen anymore, which is kind of sad. So I think
Yeah.
like just a little lacking of like community.
Yeah. We do really miss that. There's like a lot of energy that's just not being passed along to each other. What about somebody else with that question? Thanks for answering that.
I feel like some situations can just like social situations can be a lot more stressful now. Just like worrying about like making sure you're like have like the number of people that's allowed in a room and like not having too many people there and like stuff like that, and like makes it harder to like meet people, especially because like I didn't know anybody when I came on campus, so like my circle has been like very limited, and so that was kind of difficult at first, but like over the past few months like it's been easier like to make friends, but I feel like in a normal year like it just like would have been a lot easier.
Yeah thanks, great insight. Okay, what about spiritually? How are you feeling spiritually?
I can go again. I think it's kind of just like been an up and down, kind of roller coaster sort of throughout this whole process. Like being home for a long time was weird for me because I mean, I was away from the church I'd been going to and away from the people I'd been having Bible studies with. And I kind of started getting accustomed to it at home and kind of coming back and then having to learn how to do everything through Zoom. I felt kind of like I haven't necessarily gotten that social interaction that that I just really enjoy kind of in the Christian community and being able to grow like with people. So it's kind of learning to do it on my own, but also reaching out like in different ways. So it's been like a lot of learning, a lot of ups and downs, but there's been some great points I've learned a lot. So,
Yeah. Thanks, down. Michael, again. Well, here's the thing. There's a difference between being busy and hurry. Busy tends to probably do more with just the day-to-day scheduling, waking up early. You got practice, you've got class, you've got treatments, you've got meetings, you've got SAC meetings, you've got AI. I mean, you just go throughout the day and you're just busy. But hurry has to deal more with the soul. Like that's what's deep down. That's like our core, our center is. And it's a feeling of just you're unsettled, like you're restless. And it frankly, it doesn't really matter what you do on the outside, but you just have a sense that just something is just not right. And the hurry part is where we just can frantically run to and fro and just try to fill our life. And, you know, it's also scary. It's really scary if you are unsettled deep down. And a lot of times we don't even know how to express that. So If I ask you the question, how would you describe the state of your soul? I mean, frankly, that's kind of a hard question even to answer. You know, how do you give words to that? And maybe one of you, if you wouldn't mind, you know, how would you describe the state of your soul? And is there a restlessness? Is there... So just something like that. It's a more difficult question, but I did want to ask it. And if somebody wants to take a stab at that, that would be helpful.
First thing I thought of was from Psalm 42, just downcast. I feel like this semester's just been a lot in a lot of different areas of my life, like socially, emotionally, school-wise, like family stuff, just like everything. And I feel like in a lot of ways I'm just dragged down, and I think my soul is starting to feel the weight of that, and not having like in-person things that bring me a lot of joy, and Zoom just not cutting it. I think downcast.
Thank you, Molly. That you really describe that, and that really leads into, there's a couple questions that you can ask one another that will really help guide you. And Molly, you really set the table really well. One question is just, hey, what's most on your mind right now? You just ask a friend, hey, what's most on your mind right now? And Molly, what would you say is most on your mind right now?
I feel like I just thought of the word overwhelmed. Like I feel like so many things are on my mind right now, like school and just like the way that the devil has been attacking me recently and like really similar patterns. Yeah, I think all kinds of things, but like being overwhelmed with like everything on my mind.
Yeah.
Is.
Yeah. And maybe one of you kind of tell Molly what you heard her say. So just one of you, kind of just tell her what you heard her say. If you wouldn't mind.
Molly, I just heard you say that you're just exhausted. You are just down, and it is just like not what you want, where you want to be. You don't want to be there at all, but it's just like a result of the situation and the times that we're in right now. And not even just that, it's just like all of these things culminating in your life that make you feel this way and honestly make you just kind of succumb to the lies that the devil's telling you right now and just the situations. It's kind of your, yeah, that's kind of what I hear you saying right now.
Okay. Thanks, Kate. And then, so Molly, what did you kind of feel there as she was saying that to you?
Well, I would say Caitlin knows me pretty well. And this is a fun game we play often. But I think she does a really good job of like knowing what I mean when I say things. And so I can tell that she very much understands what I was talking about.
Yeah, that's good. So that's a question. What's most on your mind right now? Another question is just frankly, hey, what's bothering you? And Molly, I'm not going to keep asking you the same question, but that's another question is just really what's bothering you. You let the person talk a little bit, you listen. And then another question is, how would you describe your connection with God? Kind of like Michael, as he was sharing. So those are just three questions. What's most on your mind? What's bothering you? How would you describe your relationship or your connection with God? Those are just a couple questions, but you can see how those questions are going to allow the person who's asking them to understand what their friend is saying. But it's going to be really helpful for the person who's expressing, like Molly just did. Express it. When you say it out loud, it doesn't seem to have as much kind of holding factor. It's like you just kind of get it out, and that's helpful. And Jesus wants this where we need met. And this is not the quote yet, Caitlin, but A.W. Tozer said, one of my favorite lines from him, his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, he says, what comes to your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. So what comes to your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. And so we have a view of God that, you know, some of it, hey, it's really good. And some of it's kind of warped a little bit. And when it comes to Jesus, when I was in college and wrestling with this Jesus person, and, you know, my girlfriend had just broke up with me, and, you know, I've made an incredibly stupid decision, and I just really messed up bad with a girl, and I wanted to know if I could be forgiven, but it scared the bejeebies out of me thinking, I don't know this Jesus person. So there was just, it seems like he's the right person, but I'm scared. And Jesus wants us to know the true character of who he really is. And one thing I've learned recently too, there's some things that can be pushed, but it can't be pulled. And there's some things that can be pulled, but it can't be pushed. And John 6:44 is one of my favorite verses. It says, nobody comes to the Father except that they're drawn to him. And it's like, okay, God, you got to be the one that's doing the work. Caitlin, you can go ahead and put that. Is just going to share a screen. And the fact also is God doesn't push us to come to know him. He's not going to force us to come to know him, but we need to have some understanding about who he is. And then that will make a difference. This is from Dallas Willard. And Caitlin, if you wouldn't mind reading that, that would be helpful.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out how to do a slideshow real quick.
No, you're doing great.
Okay. So the quote is, vision of God secures humility. Seeing God for who he is enables us to see ourselves for who we are. This makes us bold, for we see clearly what great good and evil are at issue. And we see that it is not up to us to accomplish it, but up to God, who is more than able. We are delivered from pretending, from being presumptuous about ourselves, and from pushing as if the outcome depended on us.
Thanks, Caitlin. The point is, again, some things can be pushed but cannot be pulled. Some can be pulled but cannot be pushed. We can't push people to God. God's not going to push us towards him, but he is going to draw us to himself if we're willing to listen. And Caitlin, let's go to the passage in Matthew. And this is just interesting place of the fact that the God of the universe, the one who made the heaven and earth, the Father wants to have a relationship with people like us, and that his Son paved the way in every way. And he's not somebody who's just trying to beat us down if we go get out of hand, but, and then his Spirit is the one who can actually live inside of us. So let's just read this together. At that time, Jesus declared, because he had been talking with people. Some people thought he was the greatest thing ever. Some people thought, man, this guy, he's doing stuff, but he's not fitting into what I think he should do. So they kind of had their own minds made up about him. So at this time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. So he was saying that he was God, which ticked off some people, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So again, there's that drawing, kind of putting himself out there. And Caitlin, let's go to the next slide.